This morning we are continuing our series on relationships. So we've talked about what it means to love someone. It simply means that you are committed to them, that you will be there for them regardless of the relationship. But today we're going to specifically talk about the marriage relationship. Now for those of you who are not married, this still will apply because the principle remains the same regardless of the relationship that you are in. Now, let's take a look at your notes. First of all, before we get started, a real quick quiz. So, you are on a church committee, and you have no choice in the matter. You must serve on the church committee, and we are going to take you to heaven. So, you're in heaven, and this is 3,000 years ago. Got it? Church committee, you're going to help God decide who the mother of the next king of Israel should be. The current king is David. And this is the glory years of Israel. David is the greatest king. The stock market is up. Everyone is prosperous. There are no wars. Everyone is living great. He's an incredible king. But who's going to be next? And God says, you're on the committee. You're going to help me decide. Now we need to understand that David has 8 wives. Now, why any man would do that is beyond understanding, but he has 8 wives. So, ladies, I'll ask you first, who should be the mother of the next king? You might say, wife number one. I mean, that's logical, right? First wife, she has dibs. This is Michal. She is the daughter of King Saul, the previous king. Except there's a problem. You see, David is mad at Michal. And so he's kicked her out of the palace. Which means, and I'll say this in PG terms, they no longer have marital relations. Which doesn't matter to David because he's got 7 wives waiting in the wings anyway. But one of these must be the mother of Solomon. Well, number one is that we could also immediately omit number 8. You know number 8 already. You probably wouldn't know the other names of the wives of David, but you know number 8. This is Bathsheba. Remember Bathsheba? Now, she's only in the mixture because of lust, lying, adultery, and murder. None of the things which God sanctions. Remember, David was up there in his palace. It's a warm February night. And Bathsheba is taking a bath on the top of another building. He sees her. He lusts after her. He arranges for her husband Uriah to go to battle, be first in line, and be killed. Then he seduces Bathsheba and has her come to the palace to be his wife. All right, so you got to decide. We'll come back to that later at the end of the sermon. Who should be the mother of the next king? I'm going to give you a real quick 2-step lesson on how to stay married and not kill your spouse. All right? 2 simple steps. Not easy, but simple. Number 1, avoid bitterness and resentment. All right? Avoid bitterness and resentment. Now, bitterness and resentment occurs when one person feels that they are unfairly bearing the burden of the relationship. All right? It's not fair. You know, I do everything around here. Maybe you've heard that before. So, one thinks that the other is not doing their part. Now, this comes about primarily because men and women have different ways to keep score. Right? We are wired differently, and men and women keep score about who is bearing the burden of the relationship in different ways. Now, this is how men score. Men give huge bonus points for everything they do. Right? Huge bonus points for everything we do. So, it goes kind of like this. Tomorrow is Monday. I will get up and I will get out of bed whether I feel like it or not. And I will give myself 500 points, right? And then I will go off to work. And I will earn a huge paycheck for my wife, and I will then give myself 2,000 points. Then I will come home. I will not stop at the bar, nor will I chase other women. Again, 2,000 points. I come home. I sit down on the couch. I already have 4,500 points. My wife has in my mind absolutely none. She's done nothing. I am entitled. I can sit on the couch. I will give my wife the opportunity to catch up. I didn't say it was right. It's just the way we think. All right, now let's take a look at the exact same scenario from the eyes of my wife. I get up, get out of bed. Though I didn't feel like it, I still did it. Ding! 1 point. I go off to work. I make my huge paycheck. I put up with all the stuff that I have to at work. I come home. My wife says, "That's wonderful that you went to work today." Ding! 1 point. I did not stop at the bar. I did not chase other women. She says, ding! 1 point. I now have 3 in her mind. I think I've got 4,500 points. She thinks I have 3. Because men and women score differently. Men give huge bonus points for everything we do. Women score a small act of kindness, the same as a big one. You know, us men, we think we don't need to do anything around the house because it's all so small. In our mind, it is nothing. And so we think that in our wives' mind, it should be nothing as well. It's not that we hate our wives. It's not that we are trying to make them mad at us. We just don't compute that doing anything around the house makes any difference. And we're all about doing the big things. We're all about the important stuff. And so men go out for their wives about 4 times a year. All out. One of them was last week. What was it? Valentine's Day. So we go all out for Valentine's Day. And so we will buy our wife some flowers. Now, if I buy my wife one long-stemmed red rose and I give it to her, she will say, "Ah, that's wonderful." Ding! 1 point. And so in my man brain, I'm thinking, one rose, 1 point. A dozen roses, 12 points, right? Makes sense. And so I go out and I spend my 80 or 90 bucks on the long-stemmed red roses. I give them to my wife on Valentine's Day. She says, "Oh, thank you." Ding. 1 lousy point. And I'm thinking, man, that is so inefficient. I should get more for that. You know, when men first hear this, they are incredibly disappointed. And they think, "Are you telling me that I will never get more than 1 point for anything that I do?" And the answer is, yes, that's how it works. And so, this is what we need to understand. That men and women are different. So learn to understand and accept this. So, man, if you accept this, this is how it ought to work. Tomorrow morning, you get up. You get out of bed. Your wife is in the bathroom brushing her teeth. You notice that the bed is not made. Ah, take 120 seconds and make the bed. It's 2 minutes out of your entire life. And your wife, she will come in and she will notice that the bed is made and she will go, "Oh, ding, 1 point." And then you will have this monument that you are building in your bedroom, this pile of used underwear, right? Guys, you know what I'm talking about? Don't ignore it. Pick it up. Walk over to the hamper and put it in. And your wife will come in and she'll notice, oh my gosh, the underwear is all gone. Ding. 1 point. And then that night when it's dinner time and your wife has made a wonderful meal, instead of schlepping off like you always do to go watch television in the living room like Jabba the Hutt, you take 2 minutes and you clean off the table. And then you tell your wife how wonderful the meal was. Ding, ding, ding. 3 points right there. That's how it's supposed to work. And now what you will do is this. Tonight you will get on the phone, husbands, and you will call your wife's favorite restaurant. And you will make reservations for Friday night. And not only that, if you have children, you will get a babysitter. And not only that, you will clean the house and the car. And you will take care of all of the details. And then you will tell your wife. Ding. 1 point. You see, men think that they need to surprise their wives. No, 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 no. Never, ever surprise your wife, you amateurs. Tell her ahead of time what it is that you have done. Because your wife is a woman. And this is what she will do. She will tell all of her women friends. And she'll say, do you know what Larry did for me? He has reservations at Jameson's, my favorite restaurant. And he has a babysitter. And he cleaned the house. And he took care of everything. And every time that she tells one of her friends, ding, 1 point, and you haven't even done anything yet. And then she tells the next friend, and you get 1 more point, and even better, that poor slob loses one. It's like double coupons. Learn to understand and accept that men and women are different. Usually in a relationship, it's our differences that cause bitterness and resentment. But God has designed us to complement one another. Paul wrote, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. Indeed it is. He begins our scripture today with the words there on the screen. For husbands, for wives, for parents, for children, for friends, for neighbors. Paul even writes this to slaves and masters. He says, submit to one another, not because the other person is better than you, not because the other person is more important than you. You submit for one reason, and that is out of reverence for Christ. Jesus humbled himself more than you and I ever could. He submitted to the will of his Father. He left the throne of heaven. He left his Godhood behind so that he could come down to earth and become one of us. He took on human flesh. And not only that, but all of our sins. And he willingly went to the cross and there put them all to death. That is a picture of love and submission. And our God has given us that example that we might submit to one another. And so it looks like this. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. And there's 3 ways that you can do that. Number one, cherish your wife. Don't just love her, but cherish her. God says that we are to love Him with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. We ought to love our wife in the same way. Instead of going all in for our wives four times a year, we should be doing this every single day. Number two, we do this as we serve our wife. If she doesn't want to do something, we ought to do it for her. Even if we don't want to do something, we ought to do it for her. We should find countless ways every day to serve our wife. Not just lead, but to serve, because the best leader is always a servant first. And number three, be willing to give your life for your wife. In army parlance, that means that you are the one, husband, who will fall on the grenade for your wife. And not just literally, but figuratively as well. Way too often, the husband makes a decision in the life of the family for what will benefit him the most. And that is completely backward. Our decision should always lift our wife up on the pedestal and think of her before we think of ourselves. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Remember, He gave His life for His bride, the church. Well, we flip this around and we look at the exact opposite side, the reflection. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Not because He's more important than you, not because He's better than you, but as you would to the Lord Himself. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit. It's the same coin, just different sides. Three things again. Look to your husband for leadership. You know, ladies, if you let your husband be the knight in shining armor, he will put you up on the pedestal. Number two, let him protect you. And number three, believe in him and respect his dream. I know they might be crazy. When you're first married, it all sounds silly. The things that your husband wants to do, what he's going to do with his life. But there's nothing that crushes his spirit more quickly than for you to laugh or to scoff at those dreams. Believe in him and respect those dreams, no matter how crazy or how silly they might seem. Submit us to the Lord. And yet we know that in every relationship we are not perfect. We are sinners. We are fragile and we will fail. And when we do so, that's when the bitterness and the resentment comes in. And that's why number two is the most important part in our two-step formula. Be willing to hit the reset button. Paul writes, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. This isn't just marriage 101, this is Christianity 101. We already said earlier in the Lord's Prayer, remember that part about trespasses? What did we quote once again as we do every Sunday? Forgive us our trespasses as what we forgive those who trespass against us. We're saying, Lord, I cannot forgive my wife, so don't forgive me. Is that what you want? Lord, I can't forgive my husband, don't forgive me. But you say it's so hard. It's so painful, I can't do it. Inevitably, when couples come in to me for counseling, I hear something along those lines. But Pastor, you don't know what he or she has done to me. You don't know how much it hurts. And I say, forgiveness is an act. It's not an emotion. It's going to hurt even after the forgiveness. And not only that, I say that forgiveness is not an erasure of memory. It's not. You're not going to forget everything. Do you think that God has Alzheimer's and he's forgotten everything you've done? No. The psalmist says that he takes that sin and he throws it in the sea of forgetfulness. God hasn't forgotten, but he's made a decision. He's made a choice. He's not going to bring it up anymore, ever. In his mind, it is as far from the east as it is from the west. And so forgive as you have been forgiven. Hit the reset button. Do it often. Yes, it still might hurt. No, you're not going to forget everything he or she did. But you can say with your tongue, "Honey, I forgive you, and I will never bring it up again." Not to you, or to anyone else either. There will be bitterness and resentment in any close relationship. Hit the reset button and forgive as you have been forgiven. So let's go back to our original quiz. If you put it up there, you're in heaven 3,000 years ago. You're on the church committee. Who should be the mother of the next king of Israel? Well, guess what? You don't get to choose. God has already decided. And he has chosen, yes, number 8, it is Bathsheba. And you say, "Lord, what are you thinking? I mean, Bathsheba, she's the one who is only in the role because of lust, lying, adultery, and murder. None of that's holy. None of that's righteous. How can you do this?" And the Lord says, "Well, you know, we could make the case that if it were not for lust, lying, adultery, and murder, that the next king, who is Solomon, would never have been born in the first place. And furthermore, we could make the case that if it were not for lust, lying, adultery, and murder, that Solomon would not have been the great, 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 great grandfather of your Savior, Jesus Christ himself." And you say, "Well, how can this be? How can this be?" And God says, "It is the power of my love that can take your biggest mistake and turn it into something so good and beautiful that no one will ever understand it." Our God continues to hit the reset button whenever we sin. And he asks us to do the same in all of our relationships. Instead of remaining bitter and resentful, ask God for the strength to hit the reset button and forgive as you have been forgiven.